Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 678. I am Chris, and this week we're only joined by Jeff.
I'll insert dad joke for Tony here.
Tony's feeling a little under the weather, and Earl is trapped somewhere in Queens, I guess, or Brooklyn. He's trapped somewhere in Brooklyn trying to find his way home, but he's not sober, so.
He's in one of the boroughs. It's like the fucking gotta make it across
town. It's to get through all the gang warfare. Ends up in Coney Island somewhere in a big fight on a beach. What a weird movie that is.
I love it so much.
It's good because it's like so goofy, like.
And you know what cracks me up is there's a song in it. It's in the city. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know the actual. I don't know who sings it. Or.
I'm gonna figure it out. But. Anytime it comes on the radio at work, I like it's In the City by Joe Walsh.
Okay.
And that, like, everyone knows that song, right? Like, that comes on radio at work. And like, yeah, you know the song? You know what it's from? Nope. Nobody knows what it's from. It's from the Warriors. It's like that that Seal song from fucking Batman Forever or whatever. That's like it's a from that like movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like Kiss from a Rose.
Yeah.
But it's from the Warriors, and like just nobody, like it's fun for me to ask people from that generation because people from that generation love the Warriors and they just never know that that song is from it. It's like it's this weird Mandela effect thing that nobody knows.
It's like that's not accurate. It is.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's just the two of us right now while we await Earl. We'll wait for some news if Earl shows up, but I played some new stuff this week. Some games came out, and I played them. Microsoft's giant release of the year, Hellblade 2. I've finished it. It is 5.5. I think it took me 5.5 hours.
Did it come out like
Tuesday?
So like 2 days ago, you beat it.
Yep. Yeah, it took me like four like hour and a half, 2 hour sessions. Like
okay.
one of them was a little bit shorter. It's not long. It is not a very long game. And also there's not maybe much game to it.
Oh man.
Did you play the first one?
No. And now I'm not going to.
So the first one had like it's a character action game. It takes place in like a realistic Viking setting, I guess. It's not because it takes place in her head and you travel to hell in the first one. But that first one had like very simplistic combat. There's a light attack, a heavy attack, a dodge, and a block. And I think you also get like a special that you fill up and so very, very simplistic. That is the exact same combat they have here. It actually might be a little bit more simplistic in the way it's presented because they want everything to be like super cinematic. So,
yeah.
And it looks cool.
That's one thing I like know about the series is that like that is kind of the driving force of what these games are is like to make it as cinematic as possible.
Yes.
Not a lot of HUD or prompts.
No, which does cause some issue at times. Like almost everything is done by A, but like, you know, when you're playing a game, like you come across something and you press A, like, because you're like there, it's in that like area that you can press A. And if you're playing any other game, like, it shows up like press A to
like an icon. Yeah, yeah.
Right. That's not here. So it's like sometimes like you're like, there's a fucking torch right in front of me. I know I can pick it up, but like it's not working. So
And it's like, you're like, do I not have the cursor over
right
what I need it to, or is this not an interactive object?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything that they're trying to do is, like, make it kind of look like a movie, which I guess is fine. It just, I wish that the gameplay was a little bit better, because there's this mediocre combat, and then there's these mediocre puzzles. I think there's, like, three different types of puzzles, two of which are very, very similar to each other.
Three different types of puzzles, and we're going to repeat those.
Yeah. Okay. They repeat them twice. Oh, my twice.
God, dude. What they the repeat fuck? Them.
So there's, like, six puzzles in the game. Like, and maybe, like, there's one where it's a little bit environmental, where you're shifting stuff around in the world to change terrain. And that's, like, a full level, so it's a little bit longer of... It's not really a puzzle, but it's just, like, a little bit longer of a sequence where you're using some of the puzzle mechanics. But the actual puzzles, like, they throw you into an arena and are, like, door's locked, figure out how to unlock it. It's like, yeah. Okay, so I got to line up these things and find these shapes in the environment. And once I find all the shapes, then I can create the rune. Or I got to find these, like, orbs and put them into a pedestal. And then there's another one where it's, like, kind of the rune thing again. It's, like, the puzzles aren't super, like, I don't know. It's like, oh, we need to have a little bit more in this game than other it just be, like, an animated movie or a walking simulator. But none of the, I don't think any of the gameplay stuff really works real well. And that's Microsoft's big game for right now.
couple things here. Did you like the first one?
Enough. Like, I would say, like, the first one I had the same issues with. Like, although I thought the puzzles were a little more intriguing in the first one, probably because they were. It was like a new style of puzzle. Like, I hadn't seen the puzzles they did in Senua's Sacrifice.
Rehashes here.
Yeah, they just like do like, oh, like remember those visual puzzles that you had to do and like find the runes? We brought them back. Like, so it's just, oh, okay. But like the first time around, I was like, this is kind of cool because like you're exploring the environment, trying to line things up to find like the shapes you need for the rune. But in this, it's the same, so it doesn't have like that. Oh, this is neat. Also, that game was like 7 or 8 years ago. So
the first one,
yeah, it was a while ago.
I see this is developed by Ninja Theory. So like, yep. Does Microsoft own?
Microsoft owns Ninja Theory. Yeah.
What? I have no idea. What the fuck?
They bought them after the first game came out in 2018. So they've owned them for like 6 years now. But the only games they've released under... I guess not. So they released Hellblade in 2018 or 2017. And then Microsoft bought them in 2018 where they released like a VR version of Hellblade.
Yeah.
Then they did a Star Wars VR game that we probably never even heard of because we don't have VR. And then they did Bleeding Edge. Do you remember that game?
I mean, I never played it, but yeah.
Yeah, the hell is the Overwatch. It's like the Overwatch type clone, but like edgier.
But they do the Neo series, don't they?
No. So that's Team Ninja. It's a different,
okay. All right. My brain is bad. I was mixing those two up in my head. And I was like, why would there be like PlayStation exclusives from a Microsoft company? All right. So
yeah. Right,
I'm looking at Ninja Theory.
Yeah, you might remember a game I did in like 2000, right? Like they're the game everyone like has fond memories of is this game called Enslaved Odyssey to the
World. Yeah, I played that kind of. Yeah,
like, it's neat. It's a neat little like action game. And then their Devil May Cry game was pretty cool too.
Devil May Cry.
was there that was the edgy one of that too.
It's so weird. Ninja Theory has lived in my head as Team Ninja, until 2 seconds ago. They won the same, and I was like, anyways,
okay. No, how many studios have the name Ninja in them, right? So it's like, I get it. Team Ninja though is like they're the Neo, they're the Ninja Gaiden team.
Sigma and them. I was gonna say I think that Team Ninja is overrated in my opinion. I don't think they're that good.
Sure, I could see that. I like some of their stuff.
But Ninja Theory, I like lumped in with them, and now I don't even know what to think of Ninja Theory because I'm looking at what they've done. I'm like, I might have played. I know I played Enslaved. Like I did not finish Enslaved, but I thought it was okay. I remember when I was playing, I was like, oh, this is kind of like a Beyond Good and Evil, yeah, or something like that. It was all right, and then I'm looking at the rest of the shit. I'm like, oh my god, they've done kind of nothing.
I would think like DMC is like the next highest profile game that they did, right? Like,
yeah,
Heavenly Sword, which was all the way back, it was a PS3,
yeah, it was like a launch.
That was like a God of War clone. That was good game, like good, not great, but what they're known for is their like visuals and their animations.
Yeah,
they're always top notch. I believe Andy Serkis had something to do with the like early on with their like mocap stuff. I don't know if he still has anything to do with them, but they're fine. It's weird that Microsoft let them have like 7 years, basically the entire time that they've
to make a game that you
beat in like a day. Game.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, right? Nobody's going to be talking about Hellblade 2 in a week and a half.
That's crazy, dude. I thought this was like a big deal and that there were like huge fans of the first. Like, I'm just so not familiar with this, I guess the first one, that I was just like, I thought there was like a huge fan base and people were like very excited about this. And now you're like you're shattering all. I mean, I don't even know who I. You have concept of the developer here. I was like, oh, that's not who I thought it was. I don't know, man. So how do you feel? This.
I have two more achievements to get. They are basically, I turn the machine on and get them, and I'm in the midst of I think I'm like 992 days. I'm like reaching 1,000 days soon. So I like saved the final two achievements for me to get like while I was away this weekend. So I could just like pop it on my phone, press the button and get one of the achievements shut down, and I'll get the next one the next day before I get home and can like earn an achievement on like either my PC or TV playing an actual game. But yeah, I'm done with it. Like, it's fine. There are people that really love it. It seemed like, I guess, the Open Critic is like 80 something, 82. So it's like a decent score. Like, it's not,
I mean, just, that's pretty good, right? Like, but
yeah.
Nothing I've heard about it has made me want to play it.
It is, if you are like into visuals, or I guess if you're like, you, the story hooks you or something, maybe it'll work for you. But if you like want gameplay, I don't think it's there. Like, it's just like, and if I'm gonna play like an adventure game, I know that the story is the main focus, but like normally you don't have combat in an adventure game, and it's like story or puzzle focused. Like, the puzzles aren't great here. They're just fine. So like, this is really trying to like I don't know what it's trying to do, actually. Like, it's in the weird realm of, like, being a walking simulator with some, like, mediocre combat and puzzles that don't really fit, so.
Sounds like everything I don't like about games.
Yeah.
I
would definitely say I don't think this is for you, because I think you turn it on and be like,
yeah,
it's like 12 minutes, I think, before you even start playing, because there's like a really long cutscene and like a recap video of like what happened in the first game. And then like when you do get control, you're just walking for probably the next 5 or 6 minutes, where you finally like pick up a sword and have like a very rudimentary fight. And then you're walking for another, you know, 20 minutes or so, like, before you get some more story. Stuff doesn't really pick up for like almost an hour into the game. So I think you'd be like, sucks and shut it off.
You're like a quarter of the way through the game before it started.
Absolutely.
I had no interest really in the series, but I thought it was something more than what you're doing. That's surprising to hear, and thank you for being our guinea pig on it.
I'm glad it was short. I guess like if it was like a 10-15 hour experience of this, I would have like absolutely flipped, but it's fine enough for the, you know, 5.5 hours that I played it. Like, the story's fine, especially over the last half. Like, I think the story goes some cool places and it's interesting. And visually, again, it is super striking, but not a great game to play, in my opinion. Did you play anything this week, Jeff?
Yeah, nothing new per se, but I've played a bunch more of Fallout and a bunch more of Vampire Survivors. Not so much Animal Well, so like...
Oh, you fell off a little bit on Animal Well?
Well, remember how I said like I wanted to like leave it as this pristine thing that like is perfect? Yeah, like so I did play a little bit more of it, and I did find a flute, which acts as like how you do your fast travel. And I don't know what I did, like, because I wanted to go play again. I didn't have it. And I think what happened is I found the flute, and you were supposed to complete some sort of thing with it. And I did not do that. And I just used it to warp out of there and went somewhere else. And like, then I didn't have the flute because you were supposed to do something with it before I did that. And on top of that, I've played it so little that now if I go back to try to play the game, I'm like, I don't even know. It's like this massive map, you know what I mean? Like this massive fucking Metroidvania map that I've unlocked a bunch of. I'm like so clueless on where to start, or where to go, that I'm kind of like okay leaving it with what I played I really loved. And that was
okay,
great. And you know, and if I ever want to play it again, half of it, because I got at least through half of it will be a new experience. So it's nothing against the game itself. It was just because I like got so invested in other games that it like kind of robbed whatever memory I had of what the fuck I was doing, right? But yeah, then I played a bunch of Fallout, dude. Bunch of Fallout. I am like at the point in Fallout 4 where I could basically go to the end game, which is like the whole object of Forest. Find your son who got stolen out of a vault that you were all frozen in.
Yes.
And get to this institute. Now, this institute is a place that you could only reach by telephone, so you have to base build in order to do so, like this teleportation device. I've got the emitter, the thing you have to stand on. I got the fucking control console. I got a relay device. I got like all the things you have to build to go into the end game,
right?
But what I need is generators to power those those items. And in order to build the large generators I need a science perk, which I have not invested in science at all on my character. So I have to level up again, invest in science, which I don't want to do, because the next time I can level up, I'll be level 22 and I could invest in the mysterious stranger perk, so it'll show up more often. I'm going to do that. Then I'm going to level up again.
23.
Yeah. So yeah, I have to level up to work. Thank you. Yeah, exactly. I am having a ton of fun with the game though. Besides that, I've done a ton of help for the minute, like just gone around and killed a bunch of people for the Minutemen, and you know, I'm pretty much going to be aligning with them going into this. And yeah, I think Fallout 4 is like pretty great. Like I think of like, if you like Fallout 3 and, or just like 3D Fallout, I would be like, I would say give Fallout 4 another chance if you thought it was like, it came short. I don't know. Like, I think it's awesome. Like, I don't have any big complaints about it.
I do wonder, like, Tony brought this up last week when you guys were talking about it, that maybe on the return, like, you realize, like, you don't have to really do, like, the base building, but when we started it, like, it's like 10 years old now, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
It just seems like it's so vital that you need to do it, and then like you keep getting the, oh, your base being attacked, so like you seem to be focusing a little bit more on that in that first playthrough, but coming back to it now, it's like, nah, I'm just gonna play Fallout and
yeah,
just go and have a good time with it, and hey, like Fallout's still good.
Yeah, I right now, that's what I'm like, to get to the final, to right. The end, you do have to do the base building. But it's nothing. It's something that like I'm more familiar with now. So I'm like, especially after playing Fallout 76.
76,
like,
yeah.
You do a lot of that in it. So it's just like, yeah, it's just like another thing. It's something I do ignore until I have to do it. I also just think that, I think it's one of a few things. Like Bethesda games are, which I mean, if I look at the reaction to Starfield, maybe that's part of it.
Yeah,
but I do think playing this, I think this is better than Starfield, because I think what makes their games cool is this map that you can explore, and when you Starfield, it's so vast that there's no personality to everything.
And so much of it is empty, too.
And so much of it is, like, menu surfing, as opposed to, like, you know, Fallout 4, Fallout New Vegas, where you're, like, wandering around this wasteland, finding areas, scavenging, you know.
But yeah, I like, and I haven't finished Starfield yet. I know you have. I like what I've, you know, played at Starfield. I'm still playing it on and off here and there. I do wonder if Obsidian, though, who did, what was it, Outer Worlds?
Yeah.
If they just had like a better idea for how to do space Fallout.
Maybe. I'd have to replay it.
Because it's like more like it's still. Their stuff is more focused. Because like the environments aren't as big as
no, it's not. Games, yeah,
clearly, but there's just more focus to it. And when in Starfield, it's like go out and do all this shit, and it's like there's literally nothing on this planet. Like I've been wandering around, and I'm just scanning shit, and like that's not fun. Like, and oh, there's another abandoned weapons factory on this moon. It's the third one. It's like,
yeah,
if I go inside, there's pirates.
I just think that's always the wrong instinct in terms of development. We're gonna create a whole universe where you go to different galaxies, and it's like, yeah, but like when I get there, it's the same fucking factory, or you know, right. It's the same like thing on everyone. Why don't you just build like one world? And I get it, because like the desire is to do like a space RPG.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. make it one solar system. There's three planets. There's a lot on those three planets. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And because like you're filling up numbers for some executive to be like, there's 3 trillion fucking whatever the fuck. Yeah, but like none of that
exactly.
None of it is like interesting to look at or do anything with. So, you know. But at the end of the day, I liked Starfield, and I was kind of like, yeah. What's, like, I'm like, maybe people don't like Bethesda anymore. But I do think part of why people did not like Starfield is that. But then why people did not like Fallout 4, I'm having harder trouble with, because, like, playing it now, I'm like, this is just, like, if you like Fallout, this is, like, the best one, unless like you're talking about Fallout 1 or 2 out, which I have not played.
Completely this is different like very games,
solid.
So.
Yeah. This is very solid though. It's very fun. It's very addictive, and it's very like. I like games that I could lose time in, and
yeah,
Fallout is definitely that. It's like you could just get. It's a one weird little thing that you're just working on forever. You're like, oh yeah, wasn't I doing something else? Yeah.
Weird about Bethesda is I've been playing their games since the second Elder Scrolls game, which was Daggerfall. People like have like this weird idea that like, oh, like, you know, what the fuck is the third one called? Morrowind. Yeah, they're like, oh, Morrowind's the best or Oblivion's the best. And it's like,
or Daggerfall. Some people like Daggerfall.
Yeah, or it's like. Is that, and it could very well just be like you have a fond memory of it from, you know, 20 years ago or 15 years ago, and you don't remember exactly like the nonsense that came along with like Bethesda games because they haven't changed that much. Like in fact, they've gotten better to play. Like Skyrim is incredibly easier to play and follow
for sure,
along.
Yeah.
That, Oblivion or Morrowind or Daggerfall.
I think that's inarguable. I do think that there is aspects of those earlier games that people latch on to that they remember that are better, right?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of with you. Like, at the end of the day, these games have only gotten better. And yeah, maybe you're missing certain nuances that you really liked in the old ones, right? But to just like write off Fallout 4 as a total bust is like, which I felt like a lot of people had.
Yeah.
I think Fallout 4 is great. Like, I think it's really good.
Nice to hear you and Tony are enjoying it. Like, and it makes me kind of want to go back and.
It's a blast, man.
Because I got about halfway through the first time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, it could be almost like a new experience, right? Like, I remember the first part, I remember the whole, like, 1950-ish intro where you're, like...
Yeah, that's, you know, cool.
In your house, and...
You live through it, yeah.
Yeah, and your wife and kid, or your kid getting stolen out of the cryo chamber, mm-hmm. I remember all that. And then that first settlement, I remember that. But then after that, don't really remember. Like, I never got deep into Boston... So, I'd like to be able to explore all the shit that I know from Boston.
There's a whole Freedom Trail mission in Boston where there's like a little red line that's like a tourist line to go through the city. Like, this is where this happened. This is where that happened. And there's a mission that has you following the Freedom Trail through Boston, and it leads you to something.
That's cool. Yeah. I think I'm going to have to add it onto the list, like, to get back to.
It's really good, dude. I think it really holds up. Like, I think it is a really great Fallout game. I really don't have much bad to say about it. Like, honestly, it has its quirks that, you know, Bethesda games have, and
yeah,
it has, you know, that's Fallout's personality. Like, just things that they're going to bug you. I've run into bugs. Bad bugs. So that's a thing that kind of sucks that this game is about 10 years and there's still like these massive bugs in it, but it's good.
Yeah, I do think that was another thing that when Fallout 4 came out, people started to have a backlash against Bethesda's games kind of being buggy at launch, and they still are. I think Starfield was actually like fairly bug free.
Pretty smooth.
I think people were just starting to get a little annoyed at them over that. Like, it's been the same damn shit since Daggerfall. Like, you think you could get some of these things cleared up? Maybe the backlash against Bethesda is compounded by a bunch of things.
Hey, it's all reversed now, though, because apparently, you know, me and Tony aren't the only ones playing through Fallout 4 again. And
yeah.
Without spoilers and just based on memory, I do think the story is interesting where it goes.
Okay.
The other thing I've been playing is Vampire Survivors.
Yep, you play in the Contra DLC?
Yes. Stuff?
Yeah.
Ton of the Contra DLC. And it's just, keep repeating myself, but like it is like a full game unto itself. Like if just the Contra DLC had released as a full game for $20, it would have been worth it. But it's an add-on to Vampire Survivors for $2 that I've sunk, I don't know, at least a dozen hours into, probably.
That's great.
There is 7 stages. Tonight, me and my wife unlocked level 6. We were trying to unlock level 7, and in order to do so, we would have had to reach level 80 in stage 6. So this new stage, we just play it,
right?
And we got to reach level 80 before the 30-minute mark. And it's like 28 minutes in. We're like level 60. We're like, we're fucked. We're never going to do this, right? Fucking, but you know how it goes crazy near the end.
Yeah.
When we reach the 30-minute mark, we are level 79. We are one level away from unlocking the final level of the Operation Guns DLC.
Mm-hmm.
But the Reaper comes out, once you hit minute 30, the Reaper comes out, he's out to kill you.
Right.
We're like, we got revives and stuff. So like he hits us, we revive. We're running. We're chasing red gems. Just trying
to survive.
Just trying to get that one last level. Like just pick up the gems. Like they're right around us. If we could pick up all the gems around us, we're gonna hit level 80. We're gonna unlock the final level. Couldn't do it. Ran out of revives. But it was such a thrilling. The whole level was thrilling. Like we were just like on the edge of our seats the whole time in the intensity of it. And yeah, that was a fun little thing that like literally like right before we came to record tonight, that's what we were doing.
That's cool.
And having fun now. We've unlocked most of the levels. We have one level to unlock. Now we're looking at the unlocks. Like, okay, do this to get this character. Do this to get that character. Like, evolve the spread shot so that you can get this character. Like, things like that. And yeah, like, I will probably easily get, 20 hours, 30 hours out of this $2 DLC. I really hope that... I forgot the name of the developer. It's like Ponticle or something. The developer of this game just keeps going. Keeps getting like new IP to work with. I'll take a full sequel, but I would also gladly take new IP to work with. And after we like we failed that or passed it, but failed what we wanted to do. She went to bed. And I started doing I think I mentioned this last time. There was a whole other DLC I'd never even played. Mm-hmm. I started working on that. Legacy of the Moonspell.
That was the first one.
Yeah. It's just, these are both the same in that they have their whole game to themselves. And yeah, I'm just working on unlocking stuff in that now. Vampire Survivors, man. God damn, is it good.
Yeah, it's quick. I still have not played the Operation Guns DLC, but I haven't.
Did you get it
now?
Oh, yeah. I
picked it up.
It's awesome. Yeah. Like, it's just Contra themed shit. I don't like love the weapons as much as like the base weapons of Vampire Survivors, but just having more new stuff to do is neat.
I mean, I'll buy anything that they release for this game because it's always super reasonable anyway. So
yeah. And I'm just like, I get so much out of all of it. Like, the base game itself was what, $5? And I got so much out of that game. I probably put 50, 60 hours in that game. And then the DLCs are just like, here's another game. Keep doing it. Keep going. Give me sequels, but or whatever, or DLCs. I don't care. Anything you do, I will buy.
What's wild about Vampire Survivors to me, and I don't know if it's the first game of its kind, like this kind of like auto shooter survival game, but like a bunch of other companies and developers have released like what I would say are Vampire Survivors clones, and nothing comes close. Like,
yeah, like, they
are good, but nothing is as good as Vampires.
They have a phrase for this type of game now. I can't remember what it was. Do you know?
I heard auto shooter before, but
no, that's not it. But yeah, like I would just call it Vampire Survivors one or zero or whatever. Like, but yeah, they even have a genre now because it is influence games so much.
Let's see. Steam has it listed as an action roguelike. I don't know. I don't think that
works
quite as well. I played one other I played a few other things, but the one other one I want to talk about this week is a brand new Ubisoft game that just came out called X Defiant.
Saw this on the Xbox dashboard.
Oh, good. So they're at least advertising it a bit.
Yeah, Ubisoft shooter, right?
It's a shooter. You may remember maybe it's a completely different trailer. I remember them having a trailer where they're like, we're doing like a mashup game, where you know you can play as like characters from you know Watch Dogs and Splinter Cell and
all those beloved Watch Dog characters that everyone remembers.
And I had thought in that trailer that like, oh, like you're gonna be able to play as like Sam Fisher or like something like that. There's just like generic, maybe they're not generic, but they're not characters that I know from the games. But there's five different factions, I think, right now. Phantoms, which are from Ghost Recon, Echelon, which is Splinter Cell, the Cleaners from the Division, they're like an enemy faction in the Division, Libertad from Far Cry 6, and DedSec from Watch Dogs, and Watch Dogs 2 specifically, I believe. And basically, these are, if you played more recent Call of Duties, like they have like heroes that you can you play as, like they're operators, I think they're called.
Yeah.
In the new Call of Duties.
Yeah.
So basically, that's what these are. So like each of the different factions has different characters you can choose. They have different abilities and different loadouts and specials that they can use. And each of the different factions also has like a special super that you can utilize. The game is Call of Duty. Like Ubisoft just made a Call of Duty clone.
So control wise, it feels as tight as Call of Duty.
It feels just like Call of Duty. The one thing I will say, like, I think some of the bullet registration is maybe a little wonky. And you see this sometimes in other shooters too, where Call of Duty included, where like like, that's bullshit. Like, I'm behind a wall. Like, how'd they kill me? And
yeah,
because like the net code, like, you know, on their screen, they killed you. On your screen, it doesn't look like it. And somewhere in the middle is like the truth. I seem to be getting killed, like, as I run away and hide behind a wall. I got awful lot in this game, but otherwise, like, shooting feels good. There's a bunch of different weapons. All it, even like the unlocks are exactly kind of like the same. Like, level up. Oh, you now have a reflex sight that you can add to your AR, or you know, a red dot sight you can add to your submachine gun. And then, like, as you level up, you'll have an opportunity to get like a grip to stabilize your handling, or an extended mag that you can, like, you know, because your guns level up just like in Call of Duty. You also level up, so like your character, your profile levels up, which grants other unlocks, I guess. So everything is exactly, it's like, if you were like, hey, this is Call of Duty, you'd be like, all right, it's a new Call of Duty.
Yeah. You tricked me out playing the new Call of Duty.
Yeah, like, if they didn't know, like, because the one thing that I actually think is neat about it is, if you played these Ubisoft games, like, you're in environments that maybe that seem familiar. Like, you're like, I know what Noodle is because I played Watch Dogs 2. Like, that's their Google, like, so, like, when you're running around the Noodle campus, it's like, yeah, this is kind of cool. Or down like there's an area in New York from The Division. Like, these are all places that, like, I've seen in other Ubisoft games.
Where's the Beyond Good and Evil?
Right? Is there they don't have one of those.
No Rayman.
No Rayman. Although, like, there are, you will see Rabbids, like, they'll be up.
Oh, get out.
Yeah, the Rabbids are in there.
Like, oh, I didn't really.
Like, they're on like a screen, like you'll see them on TV screens as you're like, you know, in the Division level or the Far Cry level or whatever.
And this is, I don't know if you mentioned this at the top, this is a free-to-play game. Yeah,
it's free-to-play. And for a free-to-play game, I'm like, this is actually,
it's pretty solid, decent. Yeah.
Like,
and if I was not playing Fallout, I would probably fuck around with this. Just something to get me to June 21st. That's all I need. I just need to make it to June 21st.
Is that Elden Ring?
Yeah.
My only complaint about it, and well, I mean, I have like a complaint with the hit detection and the fact that I've won one game out of like 11 that I've played. I'm about as good as I am in Call of Duty, so like I hover around a 1 KD ratio. So
hey, man. Like,
I don't hurt my team a ton, but I also probably am not helping them a ton. But it's a lot. There seems like there's 5 different game modes or 5 or 6 different game modes. There's not a straight just team deathmatch one though.
That's
regrettable. It's like domination, or there's like a couple variations of King of the Hill. There's one called Escort, which I think in Overwatch it's called Payload or something, where basically like you stand in a circle and this thing moves forward and you're trying to get it to a point.
Escort, yeah.
And there's probably something like that in Call of Duty as well. Yeah, I mean I for a free to play game, I was like, this is pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
I'll play enough of it that I'll get my time worth out of it. I'm probably not going to buy anything in it. Like, you can buy a battle pass and unlock skins. I'll probably never get to play as the Watch Dogs character or faction, because you can buy them for like $10 or something, or you can earn 700,000 experience in the game. I played for 2 hours. I think I'm at like 35,000. So, what's that? Like 40 hours I'd have to play of the game, like, be able to unlock that faction. So that's probably never gonna happen. I don't think I'll put 40 hours into this, but I might play it for a few more weeks while, you know, in between other releases and stuff.
Quick question, and I apologize if you covered this. I know you said it reminds you of Call of Duty a ton. How does it compare to Warzone? Because that's also free to play, right?
So Warzone is a Warzone's Fortnite.
Okay, so it's a pure battle royale.
Yeah,
this is like an actual multiplayer.
Yeah, this is 6v6.
I mean, battle royale is a multiplayer. I mean, I don't.
Yeah, No. I'm just saying, like, this is like your standard multiplayer mode.
Yeah, it's a 12 person lobby, six people on a team. Objective based game modes.
It looked cool. Like, just look like I think for me, it's free and it's basically Call of Duty. Is like,
yeah,
all right, yeah. If you were like in the mood for Call of Duty, why not do a free new game? Like,
well, that's why I was asking, because again, there is a free Call of Duty. I understand right. It is slightly different, but it is a Call of Duty.
That's like. I've played every Call of Duty, every modern Call of Duty I've played, and I don't count Warzone because it's like its own thing off
in the menu. You know what I mean? Right? Like,
it's not even in the menu. Like on your Xbox, it is a separate thing. I think like it's like a separate like tab or icon. And just like I never touch it. Like when I get, I think the last one I bought was Modern Warfare. I played a ton of Modern Warfare 2, and I played a bunch of friends, and guess what we were not playing? It was not Warzone. We were playing multiplayer, like regular team deathmatch multiplayer.
What I would say, Earl, is this is most like Call of Duty Mobile, which is like real Call of Duty. Like, not that Warzone's not real Call of Duty, but like more traditional Call of Duty, where it's you're playing with a team of five or six people. So yeah, no battle royale mode introduced yet. I'm sure if it does well enough, they probably would add stuff in. I'm hoping they add a standard team deathmatch in. Right now, I haven't played the mode yet because I've just been going through the playlist they have and it hasn't come up. But there seems to be what's the one where you pick up the dog tags in Call of Duty? It's kind of like Team Deathmatch, but when you kill somebody, they drop a tag, and to score, you have to pick up their tag. I think that's what they have here in this, at least by the description. Seem to be what that game mode is, so. I'll be interested to see if they add more factions in, or if they actually add in like named characters. Like, will you be able to play as, what's the guy? What's the Splinter Cell dude's name?
Sam Fisher.
Yeah, we'd be able to play as Sam Fisher. Or I guess nobody else. Like, who the hell? Does anybody know any of the Ghost Recon guys? Or the Division people. There's like the villains in Far Cry are always kind of interesting. Yes. So.
I feel like the villains are much, again, I feel like the villains are much more memorable. Like, what is it? Fast? I want to say Fast Quest, but the one from 4 or 5, I think it's very iconic. So.
So there was three. Voss is from 3.
Boss, okay.
And then the one from 4, he's very flamboyant. I don't remember what his name was, but
I was gonna say, I'm curious to see, because I know what last week, the week before, it officially announced they canceled the Division open world free to play game.
Yep.
If any of that content gets folded into this, as far as like, oh, like, here's some people from the Division, or here's some cosmetics from that game.
So that. Is a good question, because that Division game was evidently like a battle royale type thing, which I didn't realize. I thought it was just like they were making a free to play Division set in the Midwest. And instead, I guess it was more like a battle royale type Division game. So we'll be interested if they like pull some of the assets they made over. I know that this is a first person game, not a third person game, but sure you can kind of like rework some of that stuff. And I don't know. I think it is an interesting idea to take all of these like franchises you've previously worked on and done things with and kind of meld them all together into a competent Call of Duty clone. So they did drop the Tom Clancy name. Evidently, this was formerly known as Tom Clancy's X-Defiant. They dropped that name. So
poor Tom Clancy.
Watch Dogs isn't Tom Clancy, right? Like that's
no, it's not.
Tom I don't Clancy think so.
Yeah. That's the iconic Watch Dogs with that iconic hat.
give me a Splinter Cell Battle Royale. Everyone's sneaking around with goggles on.
I think that's the purpose of a Battle Royale, though. I don't just
repurpose it. Matt, I don't know. Imagine, I mean, I know they've done Splinter Cell multiplayer before, but like just kind of blow it out. Like, that'd be cool.
Jeff, does Call of Duty still have like the newer Call of Duties? Do they have like special attacks? Like, where like you'll build up like enough meter?
And yeah. I mean, okay. I never get them. Like, where you, right. If you like have a long enough kill streak and you can.
No, not the kill streaks. The, there's like, and it was like Black Ops 3 or something where basically a super that you could activate.
I don't think so. I don't think that's a thing that's.
So this has one. I'm not entirely sure how you build the meter up on it. I've only got to use it a couple times, but I've been exclusively playing as Echelon, the Splinter Cell group, because like, that character looks the coolest and also comes with an active camo as like one of their it's like basically a skill. It's not like a super skill. It's just, you press the LB button and you can activate it, and then it takes like 30 seconds to recharge or something.
So there's like a 30 second cooldown on it.
Yeah, once it expires.
Pretty much use it as much as you want. Like,
yes. You can, that's like, cool. I think it works for like 15 seconds, and then it's like a 30 second cooldown. So you can't just run around cloaked all the time, but it's like neat to kind of throw.
Yeah. I love that.
But Echelon has a special, like their super move is like, you'll press LB and RB together, and it's those green goggles, the Splinter Cell goggles.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll, basically, you can see through all the walls and see where all the people are.
Did you shoot through the walls?
I don't know. I've only got to use it twice. And it does change your gun from your your standard weapon to your secondary weapon. So it changes your pistol. So it's probably not as strong anyway, even if you can shoot through the walls. But it does, like, everything goes green on the screen. And then, like, their heat signatures are there, like you'll see them through the walls. It's kind of neat.
You guys
utilize that.
Back in the day, did you guys play any of the Perfect Dark multiplayer?
Yeah.
They had the Farsight gun where
that's the heat through the walls.
Yeah, it's like you just see the heat, and you would see a person, and it didn't matter. You could be shooting through like 16 walls. You could kill a person with the fucking Farsight. Was so cool, man.
And I feel like that's one of those things that makes more sense in the Oku than online multiplayer.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because it'd be chaos. It'd be like, you're just dying.
How pissed was... So, before... Real quick, and we won't stay on X-Defiant any longer, but it has that exact same effect that Call of Duty has. It's like, yeah, I'm doing good. Like, got a couple kills. And then you just, like, randomly get killed. And you're like, what the... You don't know what the hell just happened, and then you'll spawn and it'll happen again, but it has like that loop, like it's all right, I'm gonna get them next time, and like you die five times in a row the same exact way.
We have better weapons, we have better perks. That's Yeah, I was thinking about checking this out. My plate is full at the moment, but yeah,
get it. All right, that's it for me. Earl, have you played anything this past week?
I don't think I played anything this week, actually.
Okay. You have things to do.
Yeah, I mean,
you were out quizzing tonight. So
out quizzing. No video game trivia tonight.
Lost.
We won. We came in first.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Congrats.
Yeah. That is why we were out celebrating. I'm a bit drunk. But, no, we came in first. So, yes. Kudos to us. But it was not.
What's your team name?
This week was a bit different. We've had a theme going. So, the first time we went there, which is, I guess, 2 months ago now, they were showing Morbius on TV, so our team name was Morbin Time.
Okay.
And I had the bright idea of, in order for us to kind of know how often we go to trivia, is like, since Morbin Time's kind of a play on like Morphin Time, the Power Rangers reference, is that like every time we went as a full team, we would have a Power Rangers thing. So like the second time we went, we were Morbin Time the movie. But today, it's a team of six, which is the max you can have for trivia here. Or it's the max you recommend. There's a team of eight today, but that's a whole different thing. So one of our friends had his friends in town, so they created a separate team. And because there was a separate team, it wasn't the full team. So we didn't want to... I suggested that I don't want to have like the team name if it's not the full team. So we were trying to come up with another name for a team of most of us, but not all of us. And then on the TV, the Avengers started. It honestly did not matter what movie started for the name, but Avengers started because I think Thor finished and then the Avengers started. And we would know this. This is probably something that I think a lot of younger people may not know. I guess if you fly, you will see this often. But a lot of times, like older movies, especially on VHS, will say like, this, you know, the original version of this film has been modified or something. It's been formatted to fit this TV.
Fit the screen. Like that. Yep.
Yes. So the movie started, and one of my friends saw that, and they were like, oh, that is our name. The original team has been changed from its original version. And that was the team name. And it was just great because every time like the host has to run through, he has to say this long ass sentence. But that was our team name. It's the original version has the original team has been changed from its original version or something like that. Whatever the phrasing is in that regard. But yes, it was to denote that it's the same. It's a similar team, but it's not all of us. So we wanted to differentiate it from what we usually are.
Well, congrats on winning, also on torturing the poor announcer at
it's always best. It's always good to have a fun name. He enjoyed Morbin Time. I don't think he pays attention to the week to week because he posted a hint on his Instagram, and as far as I can tell, he has four trivia events a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So we're just another team for him, but like I enjoy the fact that we have like the next time we're as a full entity, we will be Morbin Time Zeo, then Morbin Time Turbo, and then Morbin Time in Space. So, and I think it's just a fun way to like, keep track of like how many times we've done trivia.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think there was a little bit of news this week. A
little bit.
What do you got, Earl?
I mean, what don't we have? I mean, I will start with the biggest small story of the week, which is Nintendo purchasing Shiver Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's so weird to have like one of the console makers purchase a studio from Embracer, and it just be like a story. It's not even big news. It's like, yeah, Nintendo purchased this studio, and I think Parshi, I think you said this in the group chat. They're mostly known for porting over games to the Switch and other consoles. I think the last thing they did was they did Mortal Kombat 11. I think that's the most recent.
Yes.
Oh, Mortal Kombat 1. Sorry.
The other one was one. I hate. Right. But what one Mortal Kombat?
Mortal 1 Combat.
Yes. That's yes. It.
They ported that over to the Switch, and that infamously had a very terrible port at launch, where there was a lot of comparisons to the video quality of the captures, where these creatures, and some of them are monstrous in general, but were somehow more monstrous in the the Switch port.
It looked like it looked generations behind. Like it looked really bad.
Yes, but I saw some stuff where apparently it has gotten much better with time. But it is fascinating, one, because I think this is correct. In the past 15 years, Nintendo has only purchased three studios. Monolith Soft, which is the people behind Xenoblade, and Next Level Games, the people who have done... I mean, most of you people know them from the Luigi's Mansion games and the Striking titles. Other than that, they've purchased like nobody outright in 15 years. So it's a curiosity, especially for a Western studio, because I believe they are headquartered out of Miami. So I'm curious to see what they do. I think a lot of the conventional wisdom is buying a studio who can essentially help third parties port their games to the Switch, if rumors are accurate, which would be more in line with power with like the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox X and S than it is with the PlayStation 5 and Series X and S. So
yeah, I think it is like it is a ploy to attract just more third party support. Like, we'll help you port it over.
Either we will help you port it over, or we will create tools that makes it easier for you to port over.
Well, good.
I thought third party port support on the Switch, by the way, was pretty good. Like, compared to like anything since the GameCube, even the Wii, even compared to the Wii, I thought the Switch, like, dude, the Switch got shit like Doom on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you're like, how the fuck are you running this on here? But
yeah, dude, and again, I think these people in particular were responsible for several of those. I mean, I think a big part of it, they worked with Warner, because I think they did both Mortal 1 Combat. They also did Mortal Kombat 11, which is actually a really good port. And they did
it's always Hogwarts on sale, and I never remember to buy it. It's like $10 on the Switch all the time.
They did Hogwarts Legacy as well. And I believe they do original games, but they did Scribblenauts Unlimited, I want to say. But again, I think that's just a small game that people are like, oh, there's a Scribblenauts on the Switch.
Got it. It's not the Scribblenauts studio. It's the they did a version of their own spinoff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, it's in the grand scheme of things, especially for a company that is very heavily rumored to be launching a new system within the next 12 months, it is good to have somebody internally who can help, especially Western third parties, be able to port some of these games or get some of that technology up and running. In a much, much different realm, this is a throwback. Atari announced that they are buying Intellivision, or is the Intellivision brand this today?
Yes, they from Amico.
No, not.
Or Amico had renamed themselves Intellivision.
It's very confusing because it sounds like they will still make their Amico devices Atari owns the Intellivision brand.
Yes.
Which it's very weird. It's, again, I feel like in the 80s, it's really like much more mind-blowing. In the 2020s, it's like, oh, I didn't know these companies were still around.
And one is buying out the other.
Yes.
Atari has been I think that they've done a really good job with their legacy stuff. They did Atari 50
great game.
Years ago now.
Yeah.
And they've been doing they did like a Black Widow Recharged and Centipede Recharged. So they've been like doing reimagined versions of their classic arcade games. Some they're better good. Than others, but yeah, they're pretty good.
And it's like, that's the best you could kind of hope for. Like what else do you want them to do? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, cause like
just doing good versions of your cool shit, like just do like, come up with something new for like Missile Command or whatever. Like
exactly. So like they did, right. They came up with a, like originally it was a touch-based version of Missile Command.
And, yeah.
They did eventually bring it to Xbox. I don't think it quite works as well as it does on with a mouse or playing it on your phone with your finger. But they've done like some really cool stuff with that. And I'd rather they spend a small amount of money to make these types of games than to be like, we're going to make like a AAA Missile Command. Like, and then Atari's gone again. Like, just release these like cool Recharge things that seem to be doing well enough because you've released like 8 of them over the last 5 years, than doing something stupid where we're gonna do adventure and it's gonna be a 3D action game with like nobody's gonna know what that is. They are also licensing out. I think later this year, Way Forward is doing a new Yars game.
Oh yeah, Yars Revenge or whatever.
So like, and I mean, Jeff and I have liked Way Forward stuff in the past. We just did that Contra game, was fun.
Yeah.
So like, I think that they could do a good job with that. They picked a good job.
Yars is interesting because it's kind of neat, but it just also feels like such an old thing. Like,
right. So it's like, I'm interested to see what Way Forward does.
Yeah. With it. How do you like, do you just do that again and like hope people like the nostalgia of it, or like what do you do? Yeah.
So I kind of hope that, you know, this acquisition or all that they bought that Intellivision brand, and along with it comes like 200 games that are associated with Intellivision.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, based off of the past, I mean, more than the past week, I hope as long as it doesn't come with Tommy Tallarico.
Yeah.
I think you're good.
What happened to him? What happened?
He's just a terrible human being who dies constantly, from what I gather.
Did something happen?
I mean, he's been stringing people along with the Amico for a while.
My bad. I was like, connection here, and then I remembered. Yeah,
he also evidently, and I watched I think it was H Bomber Guy did a video.
Yeah, H Bomber Guy. I watched it this week because it came up again.
That shit's wild.
It is so insane because like it started from him just trying to research who created some sound in Roblox, and it turned into like this whole thing about I worked on Metroid Prime for 5 years, and I worked hand in hand with Miyamoto. And like, no, that's what I was the first American to ever like score music for Sonic. That was what I have 7 world records, and you realize like Guinness. So the Guinness World Record is very much like the Hollywood of Fame, Walk of Fame, where it's you buy into it, and if you don't know that, it's basically just a scam. But yeah, it's insane how much he's very Trumpian, and that he likes to lie about his achievements.
Yeah. Like he may not have written a lot of the music that he wrote, Jeff, like that he's taken credit for.
Yeah, I said the credit, because I think it's credited to the right people. He just takes credit after the fact, especially when a game or a product becomes really big.
Yeah,
and Tallarico.
Yes. Like, I mean, and it's like, it's your company that did the work, so it's like, still kind of like your success, just like let the people that did the, you don't have to be like, I did it.
Yes.
you don't have to be in charge of everything, dude. Yeah, so I hope that Intellivision, well, through Atari, that like they can maybe revitalize some of their old games, maybe do like an Intellivision, I don't know, 55 or something like that, because I think it's older than 50 years at this point. But that would be cool if they could get that stuff.
Funny little sides that first thing I thought of when I saw the story is, oh, does Atari stock go up? Because remember the whole, like, everyone started seeing the stock market thing in 2020?
Yeah.
I bought some Atari, so I'm sitting on some Atari, man. I'm hoping that this acquisition did something for us. I did not look, but.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. Atari stock.
I have no idea. I guess I could check it since, you know. But,
I also don't know really how to read a stock market price. So I have no idea what
I'm looking at. If it goes up, if it goes green, it's good.
But so, it also depends on when you bought it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So during this is like, you know, in 2020, I bought, I think, two different video game stocks. I bought Atari and I bought Capcom. And last Capcom I checked,
probably a good move.
Well, last I checked, I was expecting Capcom to make me money instantly because it was right before the last Resident Evil, I think, came out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to go up right away because of Resident Evil. Did not. And I remember them doing okay. Like, again, last I checked, I don't look at this shit like very closely often. Last I checked, like, Capcom was doing okay. Atari had lost a fuck ton of money. They were not excessive when I bought. They were like, I don't know. I think they were like $16 a share or something, maybe even less than that. And they had just done absolutely nothing.
Yeah, well, I hope they turn that around.
Video games are so hard. I mean, I guess any of the stock market. But I think because we follow gaming, because gaming is so much not based on games coming out. It's more games being announced because people think that the announcement will drive up interest. And then a game coming out was already accounted for. So, like, for example, I think if you were to be a betting man or person, you would probably buy Nintendo stock now with the hope that, like, the Switch 2 announcement would be a big deal. And not
I don't think Nintendo is a public company.
They are a public company.
In America?
They should be. But yeah, their stock is like NTD or something like that.
Nintendo stock. Let's see. They're worth $13.04.
Yes. And they are NTD. I do not know why I memorized that.
I totally thought they were not. So maybe that's something that's happened recently, or
no, they've always been a public company as far as we know.
All right.
Again, it's
part of it. I should invest. I would invest in them in the GameCube era. I would be fucking rich right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you would.
I would have invested in them. I believe. I'm a true believer.
Yet now, though, I mean, like $13.04, not a bad price to buy. You know,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
If you have some investment money,
that's also down.
Yes.
I'm curious to see. Let's see. What was their high 5? Okay. So they are pretty consistent. I think their high is like $17 or something. So
again, I don't think they're going to blow it with the Switch 2. So it's almost tempting to me, you know?
I also think that they are very conservative. So I don't think they go up as high as people want. Like, I think the height would probably be
safe. Like,
if we were to look in history, I assume the highs would have been like maybe the Wii success. And then when they started doing like Pokemon Go and mobile tape games.
So what'd you buy the Capcom stock at, Jeff? Like $3 or something like that?
I want to say it was like $16 or something. Again, I'm not looking at me and I'm going by memory, but I don't remember it being like that cheap at all. Like,
Yeah, I mean, I also, again, I don't know what I'm looking at. So, but
it's weird because there's different groups, like for companies like that. There's like different stocks because some are like foreign stocks or whatever, like something like that. I don't know. That's again, everyone was doing things that they don't know how to do in 2020, and so I bought which I own like I own like 8 million shares of a fucking like psychedelic mushroom fucking stock that is worth like $0 now, but it was like, you know, I bought those shares for like a dollar, you know what I mean? Like stupid shit, dude.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how far it went, but I know routine like the GameStop stock rallied again, and that was mostly because God,
something
the
kiddie
guy came back, didn't he?
He came back and he posted something and people were like, yeah. And it, again, not based on anything in reality. It's just like somebody messaging.
Well, yeah, but that's the stock market, right? It's like,
not, it's very it's much
vibes. Good vibes. Okay, it's going up.
Well, yes, because I had, we're not getting into politics this week. I'm too drunk for that. But, yes, news. Call of Duty, I don't know if you folks probably met. Call of Duty Black Ops 6 was announced today.
That no, we did the, not mention it yet.
That will when, be the Microsoft.
Was there a Black Ops 5?
Yeah, it was Cold War?
Yeah.
Was that? Okay.
It's like, okay. Cold, it's like Black Ops Cold War or something.
Okay.
It wasn't, it wasn't numerated as 5. But yes,
I just you're right.
I just thought today because somebody said 6. I'm like, that does not make any sense. And I think part of it for me is because the Modern Warfare just has not gone past 3. That I'm like, yeah, Black Ops can't be at 6.
Sure.
By the way, just as a quick aside, Black Ops Cold War is great, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, this was also announced as the Microsoft, like, not hidden game. Well, it was a hidden game. But it's like the post, not E3 press conference. We're going to do a deep dive into this game. And it was a weird choice. Again, I guess just for me, because I'm like, it's Call of Duty. I don't know what you... Because actually it was Starfield, and Starfield was like 45 minutes of like going into the systems and the world. Like, I don't know how you do this with Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's just Call of Duty, right? Like... I mean, I guess you probably run 10-minute preview of the campaign, then you probably show off some multiplayer stuff, but it's Call of Duty, like, it's not going to change that dramatically.
Yeah, I guess more so, like, yes, you're, but more so, like, I just don't see it changing minds where it's like, oh man, I gotta tune into this Call of Duty press. This event because I wasn't into Call of Duty before, but I'm going to be into Call of Duty now.
Right.
After 20 years of Call of Duty being a dominant force in the market, I don't know who you're going to get that's going to be like, oh man, I don't know what Call of Duty is. I need to find out more about this.
Hey man, I'll be watching. I select the series, and so I'm like, maybe it's gonna be a good one. Like, I don't know. I'm hopeful.
And again, I'm not saying it can't be good. I'm not saying it can't say it can't be informative. I'm just saying, who is the audience for this? Because the people who buy Call of Duty every year are buying Call of Duty every year, no matter what. And the people who aren't buying Call of Duty every year aren't buying Call of Duty. Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's not an unknown brand. It's not if it was a game that came out like every few years, sure. Almost an annual franchise, you know, if you're on, on board or not.
It'd be like making your showcase Madden.
Yeah,
I get it, but like, I get what you're saying, but I also think that the Call of Duty games, in my opinion, just my opinion, the modern generation of like Call of Duty games have been pretty consistently quality games. There's one or two I haven't played, so I can't speak for them, but and so I'm interested, like, again, I totally get what you're saying, Earl, but I'm also like, I'll be watching what it is. Like, I enjoy those games enough that, like, I will be tuning in. But again, yeah, that's not gaining them a fucking...
You are probably going to buy Call of Duty anyway, because like you like Modern Warfare and Black Ops, so...
Yeah,
the only one it wasn't like Ghost 2.
I think the only one I skipped was the last one from, you know, whatever last year's was.
Modern Warfare 3?
Yeah.
I think last year was Modern Warfare 3.
I think all the others I've played.
Yeah, see, the only one I haven't played is 3. The second 3.
And I stand by Modern Warfare and fucking...
Which one?
The newer one. I mean, both of them. I think Cold War is super underrated, man. I think that game is great. Anyways.
I don't know why people didn't like Vanguard, but whatever.
I like Vanguard. Yeah, that's another one where I'm like, this is, it's like everything you love about the old World War II games with new graphics and shit. I don't know. Like, I guess I'm not picky with that shit.
It's like, can I get into a team deathmatch and shoot things? Yeah, okay. I like this.
I get to send off, I think in that one you get to send off little tanks. Yeah. You know, like little miniature tanks that like you get to pilot, like, you know, remote control. Go blow into them, blow their nuts off.
I'm with both of you on the, like, it's a weird choice for them to do is like their post you know, super reveal or whatever.
It's all they got, bro.
It's like, especially when, like, supposedly Avowed is coming out later this year. Like, you would think you would want to do a deep dive into something like that. Like, are they even going to market that? Like, I'm really...
It might be a piece for them in a weird way.
Yeah. I'm really wondering what the hell they're going to show in that showcase.
Where are those Rare games at?
It's Rare. They didn't close Rare down, right? Like...
There was like that like big game that looked ambitious. I can't remember the name of it. It was like
Avowed?
No,
Avowed is Obsidian.
I thought Avowed was Rare.
No,
Avowed is weirdly in it. It seems like it's a new IP, but it is not. It takes place in Obsidian's Pillars of Eternity universe. Let's see. Rare LTD. They had a game. Where's your list of games? Why don't they have a list?
One big game at least, if not two, that they're
Everwild.
Everwild.
That was announced like 5 years ago. I think. When was that announced, Chris? Since you've pulled it up,
2021.
So 3 years ago now.
Oh wait, nope. Rare announced that, well. Yeah, I don't know if it had a name then, but yeah, it was announced November 2019.
Yeah, but officially revealed in June of
2020. That trailer was cool. Yeah,
no matter what we said, it's either 3 years ago or 5 years ago.
I'm just saying, yeah, it's like, what the fuck? I don't know. Microsoft's pissing me off lately.
It's been in development since 2014, according to this Wikipedia entry. This is, I think, one of the problems, and I think we've all kind of expressed this with Microsoft and Xbox, is like, there doesn't seem to be a rein on these studios.
There's like zero, there's zero competence.
Or just like nobody to guide them, like 10 years in development? Like, that's crazy.
And then like, after that, maybe not even deliver something. Also, shutting down studios. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I think Xbox's problem has ever been the hardware. Like, this generation, I love the Xbox, but, like, they're fail because, like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, Rare hasn't released a game in 6 years now. And granted, Sea of Thieves doing wonderful for them, even if it's not really a game that we play.
And they've got probably updates for that, right?
Yeah, like, they and it's an ongoing, it's a live service game, but just like, yeah, where are these other games that you've announced 4, 5, 6 years ago? Not just for Rare either, for all of these studios.
Yeah.
Okay, what did they announce, like a Perfect Dark?
Yeah, that seems, I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's in development hell.
Yeah, never happening. It's never
the
happening.
The Initiative and Crystal Dynamics working on that one. Yeah, I think you might be right, Jeff. That game is
not it's done. Coming.
We got anything else, Earl?
Yes. My boy, Jason Voorhees, coming to Multiverses.
This is the weirdest story ever.
Along with the Joker and Agent Smith from The Matrix? But the real story is Jason Voorhees coming to Multiverses. And not only is he coming, he's bringing Uber Jason as well, which is, if you are not nerdy enough to know, is the name of Jason's sci-fi version from Jason X.
Only cool people know that, Earl. Not nerdy, we're cool.
The nanites from this. It's a very dumb story, but I'm happy that they're bringing him along. But he's also just a very fascinating design.
Does just he have Hulk two skins, or is it? Is
he has two skins. It's okay. Just an alternate skin. But he's also just like a Hulk of a man. And I assume they're trying to do the thing where he is bigger than most people in the movies, but it just it proportions are so weird. But yes, that.
Have you guys played Multiverses? Is it worth playing?
I think it's fine. It's fun enough. I'm not the world's biggest Smash Brothers fan in general, but I don't know what these other games do that are different, but none of them feel as good. But this is fine. It's enjoyable enough. And I think if you play the quote-unquote open beta, mm-hmm. I think you also get the first season pass for free, which also includes Voorhees. I don't know if that includes me. I have to find out because I did play some of it, but I don't know. There are people who pay for it. And I assume those people get this one for free, but we'll see.
Okay. Well, that is wild. I did see somebody comment that that Multiverses is like the weirdest game out there, because of like the range of IPs that they have. Yes. Where you could have like Scooby Doo fighting Arya Stark, and like those are not the same.
But that existed in the beta. Well, not Scooby. Yeah. I think it's not Scooby. It's
Shaggy, Velma. Right?
It's Shaggy and Velma, I think. And then Arya Stark, and then the Joker, and then Agent Smith, and then I forgot if we talked about this last week or if this came out this week as well. But the game officially releases next week. I think next Thursday, and they just going. Like, this is the Ready Player One of video games.
Shining comes in.
Twins on the bikes. it's just like not that like you can't mix and match characters, but just like tonally, Game of Thrones next to Scooby Doo next to Batman. Next to Friday the 13th,
it makes me want to play it. And so, is this free to play or?
It is. It is. All it right. has a battle. Yeah, it is. It's very much. I mean, to be fair, it is very much kind of what if Smash Brothers was to be released in this day and age. It's very much what I would think. It's like this does not make any sense. And part of me is like that's what makes this game so curious because I guess. You have Jason Voorhees versus Arya Stark, face it versus Shaggy versus Batman, and on paper, none of that makes any sense. Like, I don't know how you even would be like, no, okay, like so and so would beat so and so. But for me, part of it is like, yeah, that is also kind of why I'm into it, because like none of it makes sense on paper. So I kind of want to embrace the insanity, and I hope they continue in that regard.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's wild. Is there anything else?
Yes. It's been busy. A very, very busy week. NBA Superstars. The spiritual success of the NBA Jam and NBA Showtime. I believe it's very similar developers, or it might be the same developers, at Raw Thrills, which for Jeff are the people who made Cruisin' Blast.
Yeah, I love that game.
Yeah.
I hope that, and this is only on the arcade now, right? But
yes.
I do hope they bring this to consoles.
The only thing I was going to say, I agree with you, but it's like because it's NBA rosters, I feel like they can't just port it over. It has to be like, because like if you bring this over to consoles in like a year, the rosters are going to be so different than what they are now. But like, it's 3-on-3 basketball, very much. I think they even have the announcement for NBA Jam here.
Yes.
So yeah, it looks cool. It looks fun. I'm hoping that Myoku Dave and Busta's gets it to try it out.
Same, because I cannot afford this is how much it costs to get a cabinet. $16,900.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's not going to happen.
No. No. I mean, the cabinet looks awesome.
If I was rich, like rich, yeah, sure. Yeah. I'd get one.
Remind me, though, I'm almost certain we did not talk about this last week. New Assassin's Creed.
I think we did. We talked about it with Tony.
Okay.
Because you know he mentioned we mentioned some people getting all upset about it, but
yes,
he had some historical reference to it.
Yes. Okay. So I think those are like the major headlines of this week. So it was, again, I was out with some friends for trivia and we had celebratory drinks. And I was telling them, like, they're like, what is like? Like, it's a weird week, but it feels like everybody's trying to get ahead of the holiday weekend. And I was like, yeah, let's just jump this. We got 3 days. Let's just do this on Thursday and be done with it. So today was actually a very productive day. I assume nothing will come out tomorrow.
That's how I kind of approached it. I got most of my work done, so tomorrow should be a pretty easy day. So
I hope nobody from work listens to it, because I stopped working at like 1:30 today. I'm just like, this is all next week, Earls. I work tomorrow, but I'm like, I have to go into the office because I have a master key for the library, which I do not like having, because if anything goes wrong, I don't want to be blamed. So I'm going to go in the office tomorrow and drop that back off. And then my hope is to come back to my apartment, chill out for a bit, and then go day drinking, and then start my weekend that way.
Fair enough. I'm going to work a whole day, but half of it will be in the car as I travel to South Carolina. So.
You do.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Hopefully, Tony will feel better. Because I really got to get to the bottom of... where he ended up with Dragon's Dogma.
We have
not commented on his progress there, and I'm just interested to see what happened there.
Yeah, and if my money's aligned and everything, I'm hoping to have Paper Mario to talk about next week.
Is that a full price game? Is that like $60? What is it?
It's $60.
$60.
You know what?
I can't do it. Based off
of the original, you pay $60, but I'm trying to get vouchers. I'm at like $75. I need like $25 or something to buy the vouchers. And then, depending, you know, and get this friend and get Princess Peach. See what else they got. Like, see what they announce in a couple of weeks. So, the few people, I mean, we have a bunch of events in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
In theory. Somebody else announced one this week.
There'll be some games dropping. I'm sure with that shit. Oh, available now.
Yeah. So,
Yeah, and Jeff, they charged I think it was 50 for Super Mario RPG remake. So,
I think it also might be 60.
Was that 60 as well?
I don't know, man. I feel like this should be like $40.
I don't disagree.
It's for it's hard to say.
It's a good game, so they're gonna get. And I might buy it. I'm not saying I won't, but I'm like,
oh no, okay. So
I'm hesitant about it. I'm like, I got a couple weeks. I could be playing Elden Ring. Like, I just keep playing Fallout. Like, if this was a little cheaper, I'd be like, hell yeah, dude! This is like the best Paper Mario. Let's do this gun. Go $50-$60. I don't know. Seems high for it.
It does.
I would have ordered it, but Amazon canceled all their
pre-orders, which is
not just them, thing. Right?
Yeah, not just them.
Oh, I thought it was.
What happened?
Target also canceled a bunch. Walmart canceled a bunch. Basically, Nintendo came back and said they didn't want them being sold online.
Why?
So I don't know. So like if I want it before I to take with me in the car, I'll have to run out to the store to buy one tomorrow.
I'll buy digitally.
Amen. Yeah, all together.
I have most of my Switch games on like physical though. It's the only physical media I get. So
yeah, this sounds like a time to make those emails and like use that QVC code.
Yeah.
That wouldn't help you for tomorrow.
No, but I'm still got a 2/3 of Super Mario RPG to play. FYI, that game is dull. So
ooh.
Yeah, well, like when I tried out the SNES version, I don't know, 5 also 10 years dull. Or whatever. Yeah, I was just like, oh, I'd just rather play like the Game Boy games or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it felt so primitive to like what I knew of their RPGs. That I had no interest in the remake. I was just like, yeah, if you're just going to do that with like updated graphics, I'm good. Like, I don't know. Like,
yeah, it's fine. It's just like, it is kind of like kids first RPG.
Yeah.
Which is what it was intended to be, but
yeah,
I can understand why it would, why it would not age. I mean, I think part of it also, and I think timing wise, like kids' first RPG really just became Pokemon after that game.
Yes. Which I think is actually more like mechanically intricate. Just because of like all the stuff you can do with the Pokemon. Like combat is maybe not as deep because there is the active time kind of like, you know, hit block or hit attack and at the special time and get a boost on stuff. But the Pokemon just like, you know, there's all the extra added kind of upgrades and evolutions and stuff that makes the combat in that game a little bit more intriguing. All right. Well, we will be back next week. As Earl said, we're getting really close to a Not E3 time. I almost tried to search not E3. That's not going to bring anything up. But I think, yeah, the Microsoft showcase is the 9th.
And there's rumors of a PlayStation event. I assume that. Well, not assume. Next week, according to Jeff Grubb, because it's supposed to be the end of May. May ends next Friday, so we'll see.
Yep.
And Nintendo confirmed something in June, just not when.
I kind of hope it's all around the same time, but I'm sure they'll spread it out. They'll try and get their own cycle of the news. So. All right. Well, we'll be back then. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.